Linda, a Centenary Development Enabler for Baptists Together.
And I'm Helen Cameron, Research Fellow at the Centre for Baptist Studies at Regent's Park College, Oxford. Together, we are the co-leaders of Project Violet.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Project Violet podcast. Project Violet is a research project investigating women's experiences in ministry whilst developing women ministers. We are trying to understand better the theological, missional, and structural obstacles women ministers face and identify ways forward.
In this second season, we will introduce you to some of the women who have taken part in the project and the research they have done.
We hope that listening to these episodes will help you engage with the findings of the project, which can be found on the Project Violet website.
Hello, today I'm talking with Helen Stokely.
Hi.
Helen, thanks for coming on to the Project Violet podcast. Perhaps you'd like to start by describing your current ministry role.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. So my current ministry role is officially has the title of Deputy Vice Chancellor of Spurgeon's College, but simply, I think we could say I'm the Vice Principal. And my life kind of consists of a wonderful mix of everything. I look after college on a day-to-day basis. As Philip, the principal, puts it, I make things happen. So that's everything you might expect, the mechanics and the tasks of the building. But I actually spend more time probably on strategic partnerships, on the direction of the college, on the leadership of the college. And as a sideline, I find myself overseeing some rather major building projects. And then alongside that, I also preach and speak in various contexts. And then occasionally, I step into the classroom at Spurgeon's and give a lecture. So really, no 2 days are the same. It's extremely varied. On my desk, I have a sign that says in business to do ministry. And really that kind of encapsulates it because I feel called as a Baptist minister. I have some skills outside Baptist ministry, and God in his good sense of humour has chosen just to combine the two into a unique Baptist ministry role, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Helen. That's a really distinctive role. Thanks for describing it to us. Can I take you back to the beginning of your ministry? Can you tell us a bit about how you came to enter Baptist ministry?
Yeah, so I was a very reluctant entrant to Baptist ministry, primarily because I thought surely Baptist ministry was for people who knew what they were doing, and I didn't put myself in that category. I felt God was calling me into leadership, I think, from my teenage years, but it was really in my 20s that I kind of understood that God actually wanted me to be a Baptist minister. And for me, that was a really big challenge because I was quite sure that you know, that was meant for other people, but God made it very plain that yes, he wanted me to. So I actually came to Spurgeon's College. I trained as a Baptist minister, and while I was training, I was a minister in training at Woodside Baptist Church. So yeah, so it was a bit of an adventure.
That's great. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Can you, you were in the first group of women who came forward and took part in Project Violet. Can you describe the question or issue that you researched?
Yes, yeah, so the title that I ended up giving the research was Enabling Women to Prepare for Ministerial Training so They Can Engage and Flourish as Ministers in Training. And I suppose the key word in that sentence really was enabling women to prepare for ministerial training. It was the word prepare. So I didn't really look at what happens once students get into college. I was interested more in how they were getting there, what was happening before they came through the doors, and just their kind of journey of preparation for ministerial training. Mm-hmm. So I was really, really interested in that. And it really related to my experience because I'm involved in the interview process as people come to college. Okay. And so it was really, I was hearing lots of stories. I was observing lots of things. I was thinking, oh my word. And I didn't really know what to do with all of that experience. So it actually felt really important to me to actually sort of understand what was going on in that moment.
Yeah, no, thank you. So really something that you were observing in your day-to-day ministry and which you suddenly realise this is important, I need to do some more investigation. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. Can you say a bit about how you conducted your research? What kind of things did you do?
Yes, so naively, I thought that it might be simple to send out a survey to every Baptist minister in the Baptist Union. So, you know, and so I did that and probably wasn't quite prepared for the fact that people very kindly engaged with my survey. So I 114 people actually responded with over 13,000 words, which I wasn't really ready for. I was thinking maybe a couple of friends from college and a few people who I bumped into might have been kind to do it. But I was kind of quite amazed, actually, that people did the survey. So I asked a series of questions about, you know, people's journey. But I also very deliberately gave space for free text. So they were very open questions where people could actually say anything that they wanted in response to the question. And that's the bit that I found fascinating, because although I asked about preparation, I received lots of information about that, about experience at college, and as I said, over 13,000 words, and it was just a privilege to get a peek into people's experience. So yeah, predominantly it was a survey. And just so you know, it kept me very busy afterwards. So it was great fun, but yeah, hadn't quite expected people to engage with it in the way they did.
I guess it shows that this issue isn't only important to you, but it's important to other people if that many people take the trouble to respond to you. So that's quite encouraging, even although from what you say, it sounds a bit overwhelming at the time.
Yeah, that was really encouraging. Yeah, it felt like maybe I was asking the right question, yeah, because people were responding. Yeah. So that was really encouraging.
So you've written a report, which is available on the Project Violet website. Why would you like people to read your report?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because obviously we've all got busy lives and lots going on. But I'm really conscious that if you've got anything to do with Baptist ministry, I mean, as a person, you know, as a church member, maybe as a person leading a church, someone involved in a pioneer or a missional context, or a leader at local, regional, national, international level, I think that we can all agree that we want to be as effective as we can be. We're effective as a movement, as a Baptist family. We want to be the best that we can be. For the time that God has called us, we want to be great stewards of the gospel. So I think that's something that we can all coalesce around. We really want to see changed lives. And we understand that what we bring to the table, how we do it, and how effective we are, is part of that mix that God in his grace uses all of that. So if we're all coming together, knowing that we want to be more effective, and we together want to form leaders, the next generation of people to share the gospel. And if we come together with that fact and combine it that the Baptist family have chosen to train people through various models, my research really looks at the reality on the ground of how that training model works. And as I mentioned, you know, 114 people, you know, Baptist ministers have really given us a peek into their experience of what's going on in training. And I think that's really interesting, because it also gives a peek into that question about how we can be more effective, how can we use the opportunity we have, how can we ensure that we are stewarding the gift of the gospel in the best way. So for me, if we don't hear what's happening on the ground, right in the heart of training, how can we as a Baptist family make evidence-based, informed decisions about going forward? How can we, you know, think about how we need to move, what we need to change, how we can be more effective. If our call is to, for such a time as this, to use our opportunities, we need as much knowledge as we possibly can. We need to hear as many voices as we possibly can, because the reality is there's no singular narrative. None of the participants that replied to the survey are the same. You know, I'm on this podcast and I'm not the same as you who's listening, and you're not the same as the people around you. And you see, we don't want to package people into groups because there is no singular narrative, but we do want to draw out common themes. And so from the act of doing my research, I've tried to highlight some of those common themes. And I suppose my question would be that if we want to be effective, if we want to, if we want to take the world for Christ, and if we're committed to training Baptist ministers, and that's the way that we've chosen to do this, then why wouldn't you read my research? Because actually, in reading it, we learn more about how we are doing as a movement, as individuals, as a Baptist family, in terms of training. So I think it's like an opportunity to just take a peek behind the curtain and just look and reflect and hear from people who have experienced it and just hear the reality of it, and also sort of gain their insights, because none of us know everything. We together, we can make evidence-based decisions. And so I really want people to read it, because I want to help those that were brave enough and kind enough to answer my survey and input into it, just to, for their voice to be heard and to be noted. And as you'll find out when you do read it, it was costly for some of those people, and some of the things they said required quite a bit of bravery. So I think that I like that phrase of humble inquiry. So I would just invite you to come on a journey to be a humble inquirer, to find out what people have been saying as a result of my research.
Thank you, Helen. That's a really stirring. I can hear the passion in your voice and all that you've put into this. And as you say, lots of people have been very courageous in taking part in the research that the Project Violet co-researchers have done. So thank you so much for what you've said.
Thank you. It's great to be able to share.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Project Violet podcast. We invite you to go to the website and download the reports if you have not yet done so. Go to www.projectviolet.org.uk.
And don't forget to tell others about the Project Violet podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter.